Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your blood brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you in living color all around the world. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to address you all tonight from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. This broadcast is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, and it gives us great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to do so. But it takes time out of one busy schedule to do shows like this here, but we receive our barakas, and more important, we're able to speak to the masses of the people. When you go into the masjid or a church or even a synagogue, you talk to just those who can get in that building. Outside of that, you don't reach anyone. But when you speak on TV as well as radio, you can address the entire world. They will be listening to you. And sometimes you can say things to motivate one and give them determination and ability to be able to think for themselves. If you don't think for yourself and do things that benefit others, then you will not get the job done. More importantly, you will not be able to help anyone. You have to be able to think for yourself to create the gift that God has given each and every one of us, and that is our five senses. We do not understand that our five senses are very, very important. Our five senses allows us to be able to give back. Once you give back, you please God, because that's what God wants from all of us, to be able to give back. But some of us are very selfish. We're selfish in giving our money. We're selfish in giving our time. And more important, we're selfish in giving the knowledge that God has blessed you to be able to obtain. But there is nothing in that happens without the will of God. Not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. If you understand that, then the reason you are alive, if you're listening to me, is because it's the will of God. But we don't see that. We don't even have a thought in our mind that everything good, let me reiterate, everything good is God. Everything you do or everything you say or what you represent that's ugly, you can't give that to God. That's you. But you will be judged. You will be judged how you treat others. Now, I know some of us treat our families very well, but we care nothing about our neighbor. And this is one thing that God want each and every one of us to be able to do that are blessed with the gift with independent compensation, voluntary use of finance. When one is blessed with knowledge and the ability to teach that knowledge and won't teach. When some of us have a gift of healing and allow to heal a person externally as well as internally, but will not do their job, you will not get blessed. If one decide not to direct their children or help their children or help their parents or help their neighbor, when one has it and care not to do so, you just lost out on your blessing. There's many things that I have talked about, and there's many things I can speak about today, this evening. But I want to talk about something that is happening and something that just happened that we all should pay attention to. And I don't believe we are. But we just lost a beautiful, gorgeous young lady, gorgeous in her specimen, her ability to perform in society, the will to go out and get an education and become a professional attorney at law. In order to do that, you have to put in a lot of time, brothers and sisters. You have to have patience to read and study. There's a lot of times you can't go out and play. There's a lot of times you can't be with your friends. There's a lot of times you can't even go out with your parents. It's time consuming. And for one to come into the understanding that they're going to take time and sacrifice the luxury of this world. Because to read, to obtain a law degree is an individual that has a plan to grow in the world, a plan to give back, a plan to help those who can't help themselves. That's what lawyers are supposed to do, is know the law. You can run this country or any other country without the law. Everything is based and predicated on the law. You have police officers today. You got CIAs and FBIs and et cetera. They enforce the law. But in order to sit in a courtroom and represent your client that cannot afford to have one such as yourself, to win that case and have them to be free, it's such gratifying to that individual that understand I did it for the sake of God. Then you have lawyers that just work for money. They don't care if you're low-life. They don't care if you're despicable in life. It doesn't matter. They just want to win. And when you talk about law today, you got to understand there's three signs, and they are monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, do not talk any evil. It's called blind justice. Why blind justice? Because you can be guilty with a great representation and found not guilty. And you can be innocent with poor representation and found guilty. It's called blind justice. If you have the ability and articulate the law and find the facts that back up what you are saying, and be able to sway the jury, you're free. And if you cannot do that, as an innocent person, you are found guilty. Do you know how many people today are in jail because the judge was corrupted, the jury was brought? Do you know how many people went to the death penalty, the chair or injection, and have died because someone lied and put up and got on the stand and represent that this party is guilty when in fact the party wasn't even there? If you went back and checked all the people that was killed by the law because they felt that they were suicide killers or murderers that have went to the lecture chair, that have went to the injection that will kill you. They got a medicine today that they can inject you with, and you won't die. It's a suffer and pain, and you won't die. But 20 minutes later, you die. Well, they try to say that cannot be used anymore. But you got a city saying, we're going to get rid of what we brought. We put money here, so a lot of people are going to die until the law came down that we cannot use it. That's cold-blooded calculated, but those are the people that follow Satan, and they're not worrying about if you're human or you're not. All they're worrying about money. Everything is based and predicated on money. But this young lady, this beautiful judge, Sheila, Captain Salam. She said she was watching TV, and she loved looking at Perry Mason. That's what motivated her to want to be a judge. Yes, a lot of us don't even like to watch TV because it is subliminal seduction, but this didn't put her in La La Land. This motivated her, that program, that she wanted to represent law. Just so happens she's a Muslim. A Muslim in the field of she's under Islam. Now, I've been trying to say for years, because we have people that misconstrue the word Muslim. And even today, in the 21st century, we have people that does not understand that. You have African Americans call themselves Christians, hate Muslims, hate them for several reasons. One, their husband, it didn't work, or they felt they was abused or taken advantage of, and so therefore they changed their religion. Well, they didn't change their religion because they was a Christian when they came in and was a Christian when they said they had an ex. So they really never accepted El Islam because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, did not teach El Islam. He couldn't. Well, we was drug addicts and we was pimps and we was dope dealers and dope addicts and prostitutes and just whoring around and didn't want a family and didn't want children and flush children down the toilet. Elijah Muhammad cleaned us up. Malcolm is a perfect example of a man that was in the low life stage of his flush. And he sold drugs and he took drugs and he sold women, white women at that. But he evolved because he repented. Today you got schools named after him, streets named after him. He is loved because he raised up from that. Well, that was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he used to represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So you got to give the Honorable Elijah Muhammad credit for motivating men to do for themselves, motivating men to go get married. If you watch Minister Louis Farrakhan, 90%, I'll give him that credit, 90% of the men are married with beautiful wives that understand that they're there for their husband. You want to see a disciplined female that knows how to accept her husband and motivate her husband? Go find Minister Farrakhan's MGT. Now, the brothers and sisters that came to El Islam, 80% of us accepted El Islam. You will find at least 50% loyalty to their husband. You will find women doing all the right things that they was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then you got some that was shaky and they can't keep a husband and wants to control their husband and various things. They didn't come out of that classroom. So that's why they have problems. But you can't give your misunderstanding to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he clearly told you that he didn't come here to teach religion. He came here to clean you up. And he said, one after me will teach you your true religion. So he's free. You can't put shirt on him. You can't say he's going to hell because you misconstrue what he was put here by Allah. And he did a wonderful job. May Allah bless him in paradise for that. I'm saying all that to say that this judge, this beautiful specimen of a female found in the river, isn't that amazing? In the river. How in the world can we find a Muslim female in the river? Now they say the river brought her to shore. So it's misunderstanding whether she's in the river or whether she was found outside the Hudson River. Doesn't erase the fact, however they found her, she's dead. Who killed her, brothers and sisters? You believe that she jumped in that river? I'm going to go out and say this. A woman of that status, a woman with that high intelligence, a woman that sat on the highest court, doesn't do things like that. But I don't understand, how is he found murdered or even suicide? Whatever it may be, where is the Islamic world? Her name is Abdul Salam. And they write Muslim woman in the by Hudson River found dead. How could that be? Since when our women are loose, we don't know where they are or where they should be. She's not a street woman, never been. So why are we not rallying behind this? I've had some people say, well, maybe she committed suicide. Well, we need to know. We need to know. We need our own investigation. Why? Because that's our concern. We should be concerned about any woman that's murdered or killed or found that she committed suicide. But the Jews want to know. The Christians want to know. What about Islam? Do you want to know? I don't think so. You might make a prayer on your own, and alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. But America don't know you making prayer. Were we sacred? Well, that's the Masons. They keep everything secret. Yes, we keep things sacred. But sacred don't mean be secret. Sacred means you fight for that which you have close to your heart that you call sacred. Your children are sacred. Your wife is sacred. Your husband is sacred. What you do behind the doors in your social life is sacred. Everything that has value is sacred. Your taqwa is sacred. But not secret. You can't hide your knowledge. You don't hide your children. You don't hide your wife. You don't hide anything that is good. It doesn't have to speak. All they have to do is represent. And anything that represents goodness and value and moral decency, you want to expose that. We for whatever reason, take those who was successful in the world and hide them. We don't even give them the publicity that they deserve. For Revelation says, let your light shine. Shine. Can't nobody see if you don't tell people about the knowledge that you have. Well, it's really puzzling to me. Everyone knows me, knows I am disturbed that this has not been a joint effort. You want to bring people together, let someone of some status die, whether it's a male or a female, even a child. It would bring us all together. But even then, when we come together, we don't say anything about the deceased. Isn't that amazing? You won't say anything about the deceased. One brother, a imam, says, no, do not give he or she accolades. Let Allah give him or her the accolades. That's unintelligent, brothers and sisters. Allah doesn't need to give you accolades. He showed you his course of the years you have lived on this life. You can't live on this life without his air, without his food, without his water. You can't do it. So why would God have to give you accolades? But man likes to give accolades to the deceased. Never said nothing about the living. And that's what it does. It goes into the earth and is forgotten. But if you give accolades to those who shine in the world that can motivate our children and motivate you and I, you're supposed to give them their accolades. That's only the right thing to do. Well, now they're getting ready to not be seen or heard anymore. And you bring them in, say a few words, and the janazah is over with. Something is wrong with that. Even the Christians don't like that. Why? They want to hear about their father, their mother, their children. They want to hear the good things that they have done in life. They want to hear you to speak about how they was a great asset in the world and not a burden. This only makes common sense. How is it that we do not do it? Who told us that we should not do it? I know why. Because they are not following their own intelligence. They're following someone else's intelligence. And most of the time, that intelligence comes from another part of the world. Not this country, but another country. And so therefore, we take on their accolades. Isn't that amazing? This beautiful sister, highly regarded she is, a Muslim, who became the first Muslim woman in the United States history to serve on the bench. Washed and found dead Wednesday, washed up on the Manhattan side of the Hudson River in New York. So nice they name it twice, New York. Sheila Abdul Salam, 65 years, born March the 14th, 1952, in Washington, D.C. Sat on the highest court, brothers and sisters. And we have not done anything of any substance that I can see that said, let's come together. It takes money. Sure, it takes money. But what is money when there's 1 million of us? All you have to do is give $1, and we can hire the most sophisticated investigators they are that's working around the clock. And they do not hesitate to find out what is the real deal. Everything goes by, it gets stale. You hit it while it's hot. There's no way New York should not have came together. The masjid in New York, the largest Malcolm X masjid, or Temple Number 7 masjid, was in New York. For the first time, that the Muslims, whether you with Minister Farrakhan or Imam Wahidin Muhammad or what school of thought you have, this can happen to your wife. This can happen to your mother. This can happen to your daughter. This was not tolerated when we followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
you better not. Or even if it's the husband, you better not touch our female. Well, it looks like it's going out the window. So this disturbs me because this is a shakeup and should be in the whole country. This is what is going to come, and it's going to come worse. I don't know, and you don't know, and we sitting back waiting for someone that has no sympathy for us. Now, I will say, kill someone high in law and judge, which is big. Yes, that do brings out all the people that do not want that to happen again. We have to understand that the problem we have, is we do not investigate what happens to our family members. They are saying that the judge is not a Muslim. Let me show you how Allah is talking to us. How they are saying this, they're saying that she kept husband's last name. Now, I want to talk about that. One of the things I wanted to talk about. If, in fact, I get married to a woman whose name is Culpepper, how about round tree? How about grass? How about tree? Whatever her last name is, my name is Muhammad. Worldly praise and praiseworthy. My name is Muhammad. Would I accept round tree, grass, or tree? No. Can she keep it if that's her father's name? Sure. But put a T there. Put a G there. Put an O there. But don't spell out your full middle name. And most people don't be called by the middle name. But the last name, Muhammad, Ali, Salam, comes from a Muslim in Islam. What is their father's last name? But this one, they say, was her first husband's wife's last name. So what that does is say to the Muslims under Islam, back up, don't get involved. That's not in Islam. That's not what Allah wants from us. Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu was for all humanity. Well, let's see, what is humanity? The Arabs, well, majority of them is in Islam. The Asians, well, 80% of them is in Islam. The Pakistan, well, 70-80% of them is in Islam. African Americans, should I go on? Yes. Some of us dominant, some of us are minorities, like in Russia and Poland, we're the minorities. However, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, never judge a person on their religion. He doesn't judge them on their religion. He's for all humanity, and that is our duty, the Father. The Uswa of the Prophet, he loved all humanity. That's why all humanity loved him. He never told us to disregard a human being. So let's look at it. She never got rid of the name Salam. She was titled, given that by marriage. She has a right to hold on to it. But they say she's not Muslim. What is Allah saying? Everything in creation is a Muslim. We have to stop saying that the human being is not Muslim. And that's why you walk past a little girl being molested or kidnapped Why? He's not a Muslim. No. Allah says he's a human being, and I created her. She's a Muslim by nature. That woman is a Muslim by nature. Now, okay. They came to kill a Muslim. But they realize she don't practice law. So don't have to worry about repercussions from the Muslims in Al-Islam because they killed a Muslim. Thought it was in Islam. But, oh, we done found out she is not. She's got her husband's name. So it makes it null and void? Oh, my God. And that's why they pick us off one by one. All over the internet, the first Muslim, all over the internet, Muslim, because they sending a message to you, Muslim, that think you're the only one on the face of the planet Earth. I will kill you, which I thought I did. But now someone did their homework and found out she is not a Muslim. How unintelligent is that? That's what's wrong with us. And that's why we cannot progress, because we all want to be for ourselves. Donald Trump is talking about Islam and what he's going to do to Islam. What do you think, brother? I will stand strong against Donald Trump. What do you think, brother? Oh, we need to get Donald Trump. What do you think, brother? Such and such. What do you think, Mirage? You don't bother me. Why? Well, two major reasons. First of all, there's no such thing as Islam in the Holy Quran. Whoa, everybody runs to the Quran and find out there is no Islam in the Holy Quran. There's no such word. So what is he talking about? And second of all, Allah created Al-Islam. How the world is one of his creations named Donald Trump, who's Muslim in his nature, but not in his intellect, and can only do what God will. You think Allah going to let one of his creatures attack Al-Islam? I don't think so unless you don't trust in your Lord. You don't have to fight for Allah because he'll send the insects. He'll send the birds. He'll stop your heart from beating. Donald don't have to wake up tomorrow. You don't have that power. Allah, not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. So that don't bother me because I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad and I ain't hung up on rituals and stupidity. It's all stupidity. I know most of everybody I talk to don't know the Tasi of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. We got men that walks amongst us that think they with us. If you said Imam Tafsir, then, oh, he doesn't have a Tafsir. Now, you sit there and listening to that stupidity moving, unintelligent. He got nothing, can't do nothing, can't spring back. Everything he had done fail. So you dignify him? You know, you let that stupidity, okay, salam. That's all you have to say to him. Salam. Peace and love. He only deserves the greetings. I mean, you're a fool to greet one that's an enemy to you, and the enemies are coming full blast. Full blast, they're coming. They want you to think that ISIS operate on their own. So now everything is blamed on ISIS that's been created by the devil. The brotherhood by the devil. All these wars by the devil. But if we get involved in all that overseas, we're going to lose what we have right here. We don't even pay attention to it. So all she comes null and void now. And you know, I wonder, and I thank my beautiful sister that awakened me and sent me a beautiful text. And I love her for doing that. Dean would always do her research, and she can make me very intelligent because she picks up
on things that nobody picks up on. And it's amazing. They want to give her that because they said her mother committed suicide at the age of 92. My God, I wish all those who died at 19, 15, 13 that committed suicide. My niece committed suicide at 22 years old. I think if I had my will, I wish she would have waited to 92 to commit suicide. But it's blessed to live to 92. So we don't know why these things happen. But to reach 92 in this world and then take yourself out of it, you went through the trial and error. Quite sure Allah will forgive her to live 92. But they killing themselves at 15, 16, 17, 18, we don't care. They molesting little children, to little girls at one. They're entering to the rectum of little boys at one, two, three. Why are we talking about this? Highfalutin educated individual with a diabolical mind. They have found hundreds of organs, children, selling organs. I mean, this is, who does this? You got priests, 400 of them, and now they filing bankruptcy so no one sues the Catholic Church. They're trying to pass a law because all these thousands of priests in a clique coming into the church knowing that you tell them they the closest one to God, to God, asking your little son to bend over backwards or get down on his knees. This is all now on the internet under the banner Christianity. Isn't that amazing? But you don't care because it's not your child. They got little kids in office that's been adopted to be sex objects. They're coming on national TV. Dr. Phil lost some of his major, and brought that girl and exposed them. They going to court, they say they want to pass the law to prosecute all men that is preying on little girls and little boys, call themselves priests, at 50 on down. You 51, you skate. And you got doctors that's been molested, businessmen that's been molested, psychiatrists, females have been molested as little girls, crying out, no, get them all. I don't care if he's 90, he's alive, prosecute him to the extent of the law. They won't do it. You got people around Donald Trump that's involved in all of this. You got pedophiles that's your major networks. Look how much money they're paying for one man that runs a radio, a network, high rating. Over 40 women came against him. They didn't get rid of him because of the rating, but they paid out 20, 30 million. They think they can just buy people off. They call it the pizza scheme. These are rich people. And this is happening, and we still are separated because you have individuals that at least got a platform to speak on will not speak out. And they're happy. I don't care, female. They claim is a Muslim. Yes, he is a Muslim. Don't you understand it, brothers and sisters? How did this come? That couldn't happen unless it's the will of Allah. So it went out, Muslim woman. Allah said, I'm going to wake you up. Now you found out, oh, she is not practicing Islam, but she's a Muslim in her nature. She's an upright human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he didn't know nothing about Islam. Nothing. He knew nothing about religion, didn't even know God exists. But he was operating on this earth in his good nature. And Allah chose him and made him the seal of the prophet and then taught him Islam. Took 23 years, Quran, then he removed him. And you and I are reading it today. So I'm saying I'm not accepting that. You imams, I'm not accepting it. I don't care. Someone said, well, suppose you raise 5 million and find out that she committed suicide or find out that her husband did, or they formed the perpetrator. Then what, Moran? Then we got 5 million in the bank for the next one, and the next one, and the next one. It takes that to wake you up and say you must come together. And brothers and sisters, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your pension, you're going to lose a whole lot of things. You do not come together collectively, Satan's going to pick you off. You cannot be by yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, community, ummah, one community. And that community is made of male and females in all walks of life. We got these little cliques, and our children has nothing. Why, if I was your child, I would say, how selfish can you be to not leave a legacy behind for us? You think about it. So, yes, I got it, my beautiful sister, that they now want to say, and it could be true. I'm not saying it's not true. They're saying their mother committed suicide at the age of 92. Unusual. Because she made it. But how do you know? She could have made suicide because she didn't feel she was leaving quick enough. Thing to do with all of the press. You know, I'm going to say this openly because you will see it on 3030 on ESPN. It came down from the CEO of Walt Disney. It came down from the Walt Disney, Bob Iger, told his president, Alex Wallow, to go find Murad Muhammad through ESPN and put him on 30-30 because his outstanding achievement in the state of New Jersey in rehabilitating the inmates. And everybody knows the warden that got sodomized and officers, correctional officers lost their life and they were burning the prison down until Bob Hatrack came in and turned the prison around but had nothing for the tough guys to do until Murad Muhammad came. And they all agreed to give me exclusivity from the governor on down to the superintendent, Farber. And I did it. So now they want to do a whole hour on Murad Muhammad. And they keep coming and visiting me. And the way they do it, I don't remember. I remember looking at a story called The Bad Boys, D.C., and I like that story. That's the only time I ever saw 30-30, and I did not know it was 30-30 to just recently. So they said, this is big. And surely I thank the president, who I grew up with, and the CEO, Bob Iger, for thinking of me, because my own people don't. But more important, I understand how people can forget what you have done in life, female, reached to a higher heights without you and I. but she did it with a name called Abdullah Salam or Abda Salam. How is it you want to take her name away from her and she's dead? Some of you all have Islamic names, but you don't represent your name Islamic. You die with your father's name. He could be a Christian or a Jew. You keep that name. You don't use your Islamic name because you're fearful you won't get through the door. And so you fake them out. Like today, people are happy that they don't have a name because they can go out the country and come back. They got American name. And those who have Ali and Raheem and Kareem and Muhammad, are you fearful to leave? You shouldn't fear nothing. I had a very close individual to me said, you need to change the name Muhammad and you will go further. I said, you got to be out your mind. Who I am to send Muhammad on a high level. And to hear the president of Time Warner, Seth Abraham of HBO, says to them, that Mawlana Muhammad was unusual, one of a kind. That man made the business easy when we dealt with him because of his honesty, his compassion. He has to be the most ever met in a sport that is corrupted. Seth Abraham made that statement. I've always loved Seth Abraham because when he wrote about the three major promoters, he said Don King, Bob Arum, and Mawlana Muhammad is the best creator in the boxing world. He didn't say promoter, he said creator. I give them credit. They was there way before I am. They 88 years old today. I was just a youngster, but I create. So how is it one wants me to leave my name Muhammad behind and I will go further? I established Muhammad all over the world, 200 foreign countries, 6 continents. That's who I am. Here's a female gets the credit around the world and the highest bench in the court. My God, the first Muslim woman, and now you want to take it from her. Why, brother, whoever did that is a devil. They don't want her to have that name because they don't want the word Muslim to be passed to anybody. Oh, my brother, my congressman brother that tried to run to be the head of the Democrats and he's still trying to run. You a Muslim. I don't care if your name is not Salam or Abdullah or Kareem or Ali or Muhammad. They know you a Muslim. They don't want that. And we say that we are Islam. We don't build those who make things happen in the world because Satan got you. Envious. No. Akram to Satan. That's why you fear us, and that's why you won't come collectively, because Satan got you. And now that Satan has you, because he unpenetrated the ranks. Line up, brother. Close the ranks. Don't let them in. When the prayer's on, Satan walks away and you walk away. That got that gin that got you acting like you are a lover of Satan. You never come up to your divine mind. You're down there in your flesh. There's no way I accept this. If she was Abdul Salam, forget today. You sisters out there with those names, why don't you follow and take a page out of her book and go on to the highest bench, the highest bench in this country? Why don't you be the second Muslim? You ever thought about that? Don't let them fake you out. Most of you are Muslim playing like you're a Jew. Most of you are Muslim playing like you're a Catholic. Most of you are Muslim and you hide your identity. Female did not hide her identity. Quite sure with that name, they had to question her. But because of her intelligence, because of the will of God, because they plot and plan and God plans, and God is the best of planner, she will leave here as a goal that she reached that they can't put no one beside her because why? They said the first this white man, Caucasian, Satan, or even the jinn that is not diabolical enough to be Satan, print this all over the world. Now, what part you didn't get? Shall I tell you again? Came the first Muslim woman in the United States history to serve on the highest court, the bench of the highest court. Come on, brothers and sisters. And now she's only carrying her husband's name. Well, I'm telling you right now, I know sisters that if they was named Muhammad and they divorced, they would change it to less. They may not go back to cold paper and tree there that makes you think, who is she? Why? Fearful. I fear nobody but Allah. My name is Muhammad. Don't you put it on the map. Don't you put it on the ring post. Nobody's sweating. No one's falling up against that. Hold it up in the sky. Oh, they ain't going to see. Oh, there's Allah's in control. And sure enough, they gave Salon hell. They rather for Murad to be up there. You go in Turkey, there's a cigar named Murad. Yeah, that can be on the map. Some people in Turkey say, well, I want to do, he owns the cigar. That's what they did with Murad. But you can't do that with Muhammad. You cannot. Allah gave me that for a reason. Because when I was a little kid, wanting to be in Islam, my name was Rashid Shabazz. I opened up a restaurant called Shabazz Restaurant, Feast from the East. And Allah brought me to a new understanding, Muhammad. So you think it was me? I'm that educated. I'm that so intelligent that I changed my name. But today, you can go to Israel. Murad Muhammad, we all know Murad Muhammad. Why? I came into their home. That's what TV does. So let me close on saying to you that this is a disgrace that we didn't rally behind this female. Why? It was hot, brother. Oh, here come all excuses now. But that shows me that you can stay down here in la-la land and stupidity if you want to, but you're not going to go nowhere. Now, I know what you said, brother, man. May Allah be pleased with you and grant you paradise. He said, Murad, this is Iman Wallace D. Muhammad talking. Murad, do not let them hold you up. Go to your destiny. Pass them by and go to your destiny. And then come back and get them. I got it, brother, man. I see it loud and clear. Inshallah, I will go to my destiny. I'm on my way. And I'm going to go to the highest that Allah will carry. And I hope I can give it back to, I got a lot of sons. One of them should wake up and step in those shoes, or someone else's son. I tell everybody, I love the Gladiator, the movie. because it wasn't his son. He couldn't take over Rome. It was one that loved him like a father and died and killed the son before he died so Rome could be led by where the people that should lead it. And he told the king's daughter, he said, listen, give that back to the senators and let them carry Rome. They had them all locked up. He said, release all of them. Release my men. Release my army. He said this before he died. He just wanted to get home to his family. And she said, go on home. Oh, y'all don't want to watch stories. Y'all out your mind. Allah puts all that right there in front of you so you can see it because you're physical. And I thank you for listening. Hopefully that I said something to and give you motivation and determination to want something out of life. If I step on your toe, I apologize. That was not my intention. If I said anything that was not correct, I'm human. But you got the point. But if I said anything that make us come together as one ummah and follow the Ushwa of Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and stop letting people teach us with stupidity to come into masjid and make unbelievable statements that you're not going to heaven because until you come to Islam, you're not a Muslim. What part of the Quran may be? They following Satan or someone that's teaching them that Satan gets through? I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Joseph to Noah to Abraham to Moses to Jesus to Muhammad the prophet with the Arabic language of the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. We are 2 minutes late and these things happen. I am human. I can't blame it on modern technology, but I can blame it on traffic, and that's man. Things happen. This is what life is all about. But I will not allow myself on a beautiful evening be able to do this show. And surely sometimes you can disappoint your loved ones. Yes, so you have a choice to make, whether do these shows and get barakats, meaning blessings in this world and blessings in the hereafter. People don't recognize that. I do. And I make great sacrifices, and sometimes I disappoint a lot of people. But in the final day of judgment, all of that adds up. And that's what I do. I try to give to you simple common sense that allow you to see what God wants from us as human beings. Is to be able to give back on the success that you receive in life. And it's not always money, brothers and sisters. Time, it is your time. And sometimes it's your knowledge. And sometimes it's your good intention. That's what good intention means. You know, there's a metaphor that I use, and I think it's a good one. And when I use this metaphor, I'm so used in being in the projects that you can't get it out of me. I will not forget it. You know how they say, country man, you can take a man out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the man. Well, I've never been a country man, project man. And so you can take me out of the projects, but you can't take the projects out of me. And therefore, I want to use this metaphor. This metaphor in good intention. There was a man that took a little boy, and he threw the boy under the bus
hoping that the boy will die and he will get rid of him. He looked up on the fourth or fifth floor window, and he saw two young ladies looking at him. He died for that little boy. Grabbed that little boy just in time. The bus missed him, and everybody on ground zero applauded him. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Oh, they loved him. But those two people looking in the window knew he had bad intentions. You see that? I like that metaphor. But in fact, it's the angel on his left wrote him down so he will be reminded in the final day of judgment. He's a hero in the eyesight of the people that didn't know his intentions, but God knows your bad intention, and you have to pay for that. But then there's another guy that saw a little boy running across the street, and he knew the bus would kill him because the bus was coming at him. But the little boy didn't know. So he runs. Boy, did he. The bus hit the little boy. The boy died. The guy is so upset that this little kid lost his life. But God saw his good intention and reward him for his good intention, because the act is God. But the intentions is you. So God says, I bless those with good intentions. So tonight, I wanted to come on, and if something has happened where I could not come on, I get rewarded for good intentions. So when you say and ask me a question, Marat, if you had $1 trillion, would you be fearful to sign for that trillion? No, I would sign for it. There'll be a whole lot of people that's poor, down and out, that I would help. I will help them, send them to school. You talking about I got $1 trillion. You talking about millions of people that I can help. Why? For good intentions. Why don't you keep it for yourself? That's bad intentions. But that which you give away is yours. That which you give away is what you have that God has blessed you with. And it's better to give than to receive. So you must give it back. Because this is a temporary world. You don't know when you are going to die. Now, don't misconstrue what it says in the Bible. And the Bible is right. It also says in the Quran, you must die in order to live. And you waiting for it to get buried in the grave? No. You have to die that cunning way about yourself. You have to die being a pimp or a dope dealer. You have to die to be abusive of women, to be a die that you're molesting children. You have to die those deaths, even one that wants to sit home and grieve. One that don't want nothing out of life. One that don't want to get married. Oh, because you 70, 75, you old. No, brothers and sisters, your nature never gets old. It grows from a child to adulthood. And so in America, in the world, 18 is adult. So you 18 years old. But in the eyesight of Allah, when you turn 9, 10, 13, you are a adult. So that means between the two, put them together, 14 years old. You're still 14 and 15. Now, you might say that's beyond one's imagination. But let a man come around that you love, just something about him, you love him. All of a sudden, the little girl comes in. That man holds your hand or just touches you any kind of way, on your arm, on your shoulder. Oh, my God, that little girl comes back. Let your father bring you gifts and you're not married. Oh, do you feel good about yourself? Let you fall in love and marry a man. Here come that little girl again, because the nature does not get old. Why? Because it's not of this world. It is your conscious, your intellectual mind is of this world, not the nature. Even Satan can't touch your nature, and he has no power, not over the nature. His schemes are weak when it comes to the nature of the human being, and he is Satan. He's the devil. Well, likewise with man's education. It doesn't touch your nature. It develops your intellect, and you become, to the sense of the word, I'm educated. And so you're so educated that in your mind, 70 years old, 75 years old is old. No, you're not old. You are old because you say you old. You got sugar diabetes because you say I have sugar. No, you don't have sugar diabetes. God didn't give you sugar diabetes. You just accept it and let it lie dormant in you, and you don't do it. But God don't want you to have sugar diabetes. He don't want you to not be successful in this world. He don't want you to be poor. He don't want you to be uneducated. He doesn't want you to say I'm unmoral. That's not God. Don't let nobody tell you that's God. See, I lived it. That's why I can confess it. It's called wisdom. I lived it. I did everything a man should want to do in life to ought to be successful in life. I've done it all. But yet, I didn't fall victim. Now, I'm going to tell you another story. I'm not going to mention no names to a female. And a female I knew, she loved me for years. For years. And she couldn't understand why in Islam you could have two, three, or four. And she was adamant about that. She was adamant that she ain't never going to be a part of that. But when you ask her, well, who are you married to? I'm not married. Well, why? Until I find the right one. You're not going to find the right one sitting in the house. You're not going to find the right one if you don't go out and mingle. You're not going to find the right one if you're fearful that somebody's going to do such and such and such and such going to be such and such. You can't predict that. Predict, brothers and sisters, and life is good. It's already written. Anything good. But if you predict something bad, that's you. You can't give that to God. God didn't create you to want to think that something bad is going to happen to you. You got to get rid of that myth. So I had to tell her a story about Lot. That was a beautiful story because Lot was in there with a bunch of freaky deacons. You know, that was Solomon and Gomorrah. Well, Lot told him to get out of there so he can stay there and find some other there that will go out with him. Allah said, go ahead, try it. Twice he sent them back. Twice he couldn't produce anyone. He said, get out of there. Get your family out of there. And he did. He said, but don't look back. And I said this to the young lady, don't look back. And I said, but the wife did look back. Not the man. Lot didn't look back. It was the wife. And what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. Now, keep in mind, will you think that God would take the crown of creation and turn it literally in a pit of salt? But our great-grandmothers used to say, boy, don't you be salty with me. My mother never used those words because we fear for it to be salty to her. They used it. Her grandmother used it. Don't be salty with me. So that was pretty good. It gave you a good idea that turning a pillar of salt don't mean that you are some kind of a statue that's melting down. You're salty. But what it really means when you look back on all the ugly that you have done, the past, when you look back, then that means you liked it. So you want to
visit again. No, you don't want to visit that. So don't look back. Go forward. Don't talk about what you used to do or why you did it. You got rid of babies. A lot of women did that too. But you wasn't of knowledge. But then I explained to this young lady. I explained to this young lady that the Quran is very clear. 2, 3, or 4. Didn't even say 1, 2, 3, 4. It said 2, 3, or 4. Why? The women back then, prior to the Quran being written, there was 20 to 1. Now, you know, today, with all these various different hang-ups, men in prison, men dying for overdose, men on drugs, men don't know if they're a man or a woman. There's so many things that allows the woman dominate, and I'll go so far 50 to 1. So where is these women going? So when it was 2, 3, or 4 back then, most women had a husband. So the question was asked to me, this was a good question, if the man can have 4, how about the wife having 4? They even said, I know the answer. But they want to hear me say it. Can't happen. Okay, I knew the answer. But knowing the answer and not knowing the reality of life. See, a man can have 4 babies or 4 different wives. All of them got the same blood. So they're all going to be mirror of one another. Each one will get something of their father in them. But if a woman has 4 babies for 4 different men, it's chaos. Why? Different character. If you understand that, different fingerprints. The fingerprints doesn't match no form or fashion. And so you got 5 or 4 different added chaos in the house. That's a good metaphor. But more important, I said, what about if I ask you, if you got 4 children, which one you love the best? You look at me as I'm crazy. I love all my children. Well, what about the one who got 10 children? Oh, I love all my children. Oh, you can't love 10 people. Your heart is not big enough. Well, that's what they say about a man who got more than one. You cannot love 4 people. Why? Because your heart only is for one. Well, if the woman's heart, and she came out of the soul mold I came from, if you telling me that the woman loves all her babies, every last one of them, you say, well, wait a minute. One wife is more attractive than the other wife. One wife is more different complexion than the other wife. One wife is either tall or short than the other wife, and so forth and so on. Well, likewise with the baby. You can have the ugliest baby that woman can produce out of her womb, and she will love that child like she or he is the most beautiful child ever. You better not call her baby ugly. What about the deformed baby? Now, I'm not saying God made it deformed. It's something you might have done, but the baby came out, and you got to deal with that baby. That mother's going to take care of that baby all the way to her grave. Well, who gave her a heart like that? That's the heart. The heart is in tune with God. So what makes my heart different than her heart? What makes my soul different than her soul? What makes my spirit different than her spirit? You know what makes us different? I'm going to tell you what makes us different. Your intellectual mind. Why? You will believe one thing, and I will believe another thing to you, your belief, and to me, my belief. But God don't make no mistakes. He's only talking to the righteous man, the righteous woman. And so we went a little further. And when we went a little further, I said, okay, I guarantee you, you're not going to be written in Scripture. But Sarah is. And so is Hajji. But Sarah got her reward for saying to her husband, you need to produce a child. And let's pray that it's a male child. And if you want a male child, darling,
you're going to have to take Hajj. She invited him to go and take Hajj. Well, he did, and Ismail was born. Oh, is he happy? And she was happy. And here come the angels. Here come the angels. And what did the angel say? The angel came and said, Sarah, we come to give you a gift. Yes, and what is the gift? The gift is you're going to produce a child. And she chuckled. And what did they say to Sarah? Simply, they said, Sarah, you don't believe God says will and it will be? She got quiet. Sure enough, Sarah at her old age produced a child. His name was Isaac. So here you got Ishmael and Isaac. So the world tried to tell you that one was illegitimate. But yet the one that was illegitimate is the one Allah chose to go to Saudi Arabia, and that's another story how he got there as an infant, and be the guardian of the Kaaba and helped his father to build the Kaaba. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a blessing. But then Isaac is known also as the messenger of God, a prophet to us. And that's the ones the Jews says is the right one, the one that came out of the womb of Sarah. And therefore, they would not worship, not all, some of them, will not worship Ishmael because they said that was illegitimate. Isn't that amazing? But yet, he is down as the messenger of God. He is down on the sacrifice of Abraham's forgotten son. The only one before Isaac came, he could sacrifice him, and they said he did. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't have time to teach that, but it's not the way you think the sacrifice were, that he had to literally take a sharp knife and cut the throat of his son. Well, it has a similarity, but it had nothing to do with a knife. And that's another story. And I don't have time to teach that this evening, but one day I will. But I'm trying to get to a point. The point is, sisters and brothers, God does not make mistakes. And these women should be patterned behind because they are in all three books. They are in the Torah, they are in the Injil, and they are in the Holy Quran. So you talk about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They mention these righteous women that did things for the sake of Allah. Today, in the 21st century, it's very difficult for you to get a woman to respect the next wife of a man. Why? Because they haven't come to that level of moral decency. It's not about yourself. This is a temporary world. And if you want to stay here in this world, you'll get old in that earth. And you're not going to be able to do what you really want to do. But as the time comes that God removes you, and when he recreates you right to your fingertips, you will be that beautiful, pearly-eyed female that God talks about, and that milky skin that God's talking about, and that tall virgin. That's you. But you looked at that part of the Quran, and you didn't want to accept this female because why? You became jealous, and jealous destroyed within. But it's only simple common sense. What we talk here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, and we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And so therefore, these things come about when you bring people together.
And on Friday, we all came together. And history was being made, brothers and sisters, because why? You had the Lears, the Shipleys, the Taylors, the Muhammads, the Ali, and my God, and everybody else was there. Why? The Hawkins, you had the McNeils, you had the McCrays, you name them, they all came out. And I was so ecstatic because I had a friend that was my best friend. Woke up to him every day, and we played. And it was Herbie Hall. He came, and it meant a lot to me because every day he and I was close, very close. And I made a joke. It's true, but I made it as a joke. If you had watched Martin, you would know Herbie Hall. Because Martin had a guy named Tommy, and Martin loved Tommy, but nobody knew where the hell Martin lived or what he did. I sure didn't. But he and I used to steal a car every week. Now, I don't want you to think we went out and took somebody's car. We used to take his daddy's car. Yeah, because he goes to sleep at 10. He had to be up early in the morning. And when he goes to sleep, we was gone. And then we had to get back in time before he wake up. So he wake up, he better see his car outside there. To the day, and I don't think his father's living today, but to the day, his father didn't know we used to take that beautiful automobile he had. I don't know if it was a Chrysler or a Chevy, but that was a pretty car. And we used to ride through the projects, and we had all the women would come to us when we were driving that car. So Herbie and I was very close, and his mother was a beautiful woman. And you go over there, you're going to eat. You're going to eat your breakfast. And then me and Herbie would go back to Dayton Street. Yes, that's how we lived our life. And, of course, he went his way, I went my way. And I used to bring him and Bernard, who grew up in Dayton Street, everywhere, wherever I went. Come on. But I was my man. And people said, man, you pay for the room, you pay for the food, you pay for getting him in. He sits ringside. I say, hey, man, that's my buddy. Why did I say that? Because that's what I wanted to prove. How do you come into El Islam? How do you come into El Islam and don't want to associate with the people that love you when you was nothing? You didn't know anything about Islam. It was all Christianity. We all was Christians, but ask me about being a Christian. My mother said I was a Christian, so I tell everybody I'm a Christian. The only thing I knew about Christianity, and my mama used to say, boy, say your prayer. Down and lay me down, pray to the Lord, my soul to keep. If I should not waken, I forgot. I used to know by heart. Down and lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Yes, that's all I knew. And my mama sent me to the church. I went there. All them pretty girls. Where the girls is, I'm going. I used to play drums in school. I didn't want to play no drums. I gained to like it and I fell in love with the drums. But I went there because all the women was playing flutes and violin. And different instruments, and I wanted to be around the girls. And so I went there to learn how to play. Then my mama started sending me way down by the school. She sent me across the street. And I was in that church, and all I heard, ding, 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 ding. I didn't know what he was saying. And I went home, I said, Mama, I don't know what they're saying there. Boy, I tell you, you got to go to church. So I didn't know too much about the church. Are you ready for this one? Our father was one of the greatest preachers in New Jersey. Yes, he was. And so therefore, I never heard him preach. I never heard him preach. Knew where his church was in Freehold, New Jersey. But it's no coincidence. that where we lay my sister, may Allah be pleased with her, and grant her paradise, Joan, was Wigham. Wigham was my banker. Wigham and my father created the Black Bank. So I had a love for Wigham, and he had a love for me. And he used to come to my office and pray the office because he wanted me to put my money in his bank. And I said, yeah, if you loan me $1 million, and he was going to do it, but he was fearful of doing it. So I used to see him every week. He would walk in my office, and we'd go in the conference room, and he wouldn't sit down. He was saying, if I give you this money and you don't pay me back, I'm in major trouble. And I said, Wickham, don't do it. Instead, don't put yourself in jeopardy, but I ain't taking my money out of this bank and put it in your bank. And First Jersey, I learned, was the underwriter for City National Bank. Yes, he was. But more important than that the daughter, Carol, you know, she had a love for me. I got a love for her. She got a lot of respect. She knew her father and I was close. So who thought we were going to end up in Wickham? My little niece made that decision because I allow her to grow. You ever see a child, you want to, from trying to zipping up his coat because he's having a rough time, he would turn his back to you. Why? Because they're growing. They want to do things on their own. So I'm a strong believer. You got to give children freedom, not to do wrong. You know, when they're trying to do something constructive, let them fall. They'll get back up. And so I let her do what she thought was correct. Why? Because my sister was a Christian. And I did not want to dominate. Only time I stepped in when something you are not going to do when it comes to my sister. So as much as my little niece was a beautiful specimen, lovely female, she don't have wisdom. She got knowledge. Wisdom tramples knowledge, meaning one you learn, the other one you experience. It's one thing to learn, but to be able to do this is another thing. So this is all new avenue when you bury your mother and your grandma all at one time. That's a new avenue. And so things that I would not allow, but she did everything basically correct. Things I just allowed because if it pleases her, so be it. But anyway, we decide that we're going to make history. We're going to put Islam and Christianity in one building. And the preacher is going to preach Christianity, and I'm going to preach Islam. I thought it was perfect. And to the owner of Wigham, Carol said, Marah Muhammad, no, he don't need no preacher. They let him do the whole thing. So it was given to me. I said to my niece, I said, okay, who is the preacher so I can meet him? You are. No, who is the preacher? You are. That's the way we have concluded. Now, they gave me that task. I took it. I'm going to make history. But at the same time, not for my self-gratification, for the sake of us as a community. We got to kill this myth of people saying, you know, you got men come home from jail. They call jailhouse rock. Yeah, what are they rocking? Islam. And they don't have their own mind. They're like robots that people have molded and shaped them and sent them out. And so they only know one way. And if you sit and talk with them, God, the stupidity. And they just do things and want to be everybody but themselves. Of course, they don't want to be bankrupt, dope dealers, and all the despicable things. So they change their way. They change their culture. They change their culture. They don't even want to dress like us no more. They want to dress like someone else. The dangerous thing, I told a superintendent of all institutions, I said, he's a human being. You got to let him out. He said he's not going nowhere.
I said, but you let that guy out that you had here for 50 years. He said, yeah, but the difference is one got his own mind and the other one doesn't. I said, which one don't? The one you want out. See, a man with that doesn't have his own mind is a dangerous man. I said, he's correct. Because all you got to do is give order and he's going to do something stupid. So he's right. And that's what's happening. That now the youngsters are coming out, coming home from prison, and they don't know the religion. Because why? They don't have their own mind. So they do things despicable, but you can't hurt El Islam. Remember I said, they got Islam, but you can't hurt El Islam. President of the United States talk about who? Islam. I don't have a problem with him. Doesn't exist in the Holy Quran. No such thing. It's El Islam. So these boys, they got Islam. And they listen to people and they changed everything and they can't comprehend the simple things that will allow one to grow in life. So I brought them together and I said, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to first be the preacher. Let the preacher go first. My sister's a Christian. So I did just that. I let everybody, they did their songs and they read the Bible and some came up and quoted certain things, and it was all in good taste. I think it was. People enjoyed themselves. But then it's my turn now. They said, I got 10 seconds. 10 seconds. They gave me 10 seconds. I said, I don't understand it. Nobody else is going to say anything, and I'm not leaving it until I make my statement. Why? Because you have to give back what you have, and you got to take the opportunity to do so. Now, it could have been longer, but I didn't want it to be longer. It'd say just enough. And I can tell you, without spending any more time to talking about it, is that everybody enjoyed themselves. The one thing I ask for those who do not believe that they submit to the will of God, stand up. Nobody stood. And I said, when you say, I submit to the will of God, it takes you 5 seconds. Don't hurt us that came into El Islam and we say what? Simple. Muslim. And this myth about you being a kafir, disbeliever, or you're not going to make it to hereafter because you didn't say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is a myth. It's a myth. Think about this. There's 1,500,000,000 Muslims that says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So therefore, there's another 7.5 billion. 7.5 billion of people around the world would probably never say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's a blessing. But more important is, if you said in the flood, you hurt the men that's there waiting to get in and the men that lives there. If a tragedy happened, you mean Allah will send 1,500,000,000 agenda and 7,500,000,000 to hell? Oh my God, God made a big mistake because only 10% or less has accepted and everybody else went to hell. Oh, brother, sister, that's not true. Allah says, oh, you Jews and Christians and Sabians, if you believe in one God, and then hereafter the gates of heaven will open for you, will be no burden on you, he says. Well, my sister believed in one God, and she believed in the hereafter. So she makes it. And she was a good preacher, and I was around her. What did she do that she, surely we all make mistakes, but you don't know how she prayed being alone.
is not our judgment. We say God is most merciful and merciful, most beneficent. In order for my sister to make an agenda, so I can't judge her. Allah has to weigh her on her scale. And the good outweigh the wrong, you made the agenda. This is what we are taught. And so therefore, I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if you explain to them various different things, you will bring them closer. Excellent. Excellent. And then we all went to the gravesite. Now, we had escort, police escort, because my beloved brother Ronald Saladin called them and told them what to do. He still is loved as the director over the police department. But emergency alarm came out that the children decided to walk out of their school. He was able to get a call and say, we have to go protect the schools. So we had to let them go. Our children come first. My sister's deceased. Let them take care of our babies. So we had no escort. So we left about 30 cars behind. And Joan Dillala, my assistant, she always come in and take charge. And she called me, pull over, where are you? Pull over. And they're about 15 minutes away from us. And she said, we can't find the caravan, but they know to come this way. And we got them all. And we finally got to the cemetery. And by me speaking, I'm very pleased with what I saw. But things happen in society. So unity, one Ummah. We came together and nobody talked about whose religion. We talked about old times as saints. Fools, that woman has a beautiful heart, a lovely heart. That woman never would take money from me. She just cooks and cooks. And she'll say, not one person going to leave out of here with an empty belly. I love her. Now, I'm only saying this because you don't let no one outdo you in righteousness. It's called being it like a race for all that is good. So I didn't know how. I tried to get her the money through the lawyer. He said, man, you got to do it. I can't do it. She's gonna holler and scream at me. But I got it to her. But she didn't really know. And when I walked out, I had to go to the laboratory. I came back, and she says, Rod, you're a beautiful man. You're just not handsome. You're just a beautiful spirit. And I kissed her on her cheek, and she said, my workers will be happy. Oh, come on, brothers and sisters. The workers. She thought about all those black men that was in that kitchen. Now, there's some in there that wasn't black. But that woman puts the Africans to work. Okay, where they come from. They're hard workers and great cookers. And she runs a good shift. Now I'm quite sure she'd be very upset for me to say that. But I'm letting y'all know she's a beautiful specimen of a female that refers to as a Muslim. Matter of fact, in Islam, matter of fact, with no exaggeration, when I walked in, because, you know, I come in, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all times. You know, I make noise. I get everybody's attention. She was praying. She was doing her prayers. Yes. And that's why that female is successful. In spite of her cooking. And then I walked out, and she said, Rod, I was going to the laboratory. Anyway, I just think those are beautiful stories.
But sitting there and talking to, oh, Dayton Street was in the house, and they talked about Joan and how they did this together and that together. And we talked about Zara, how she used to do this and she used to do that. And she talked about Shahid, how he did this and did that. It was known as Musa back then. And my brother Samad. And one third of the first people grew up with him. Third grew up with me and my sister Zara. And the other third grew up with my two oldest. And they all was there. And we thought it was good, about 100. And people was coming in, and I want to thank all my women from Waldenburg would have been there, but Allah didn't let it put it in my mind. And when I finally told Reba, oh, Reba's a beautiful female. She runs that place there in Waldenburg, the Senior Citizens Building. She take care of that center. Oh, it's gorgeous. I wish I could reduce 25 more just in the state of New Jersey, and I'll take it all over the country. The way she built that JFK school, oh, it's a lovely captain of the Air Force. And that female tries to do everything I can. So she had a press conference, which I, since they let it out, they came to me and want me to come back and help promote our first show would be in Trenton, New Jersey next year. And they want me to help them raise money for each one of their nonprofit organizations because they're not sitting around waiting for President Donald Trump to give them anything. They're going to go out and get it for themselves, but they afraid that I would come to the press conference. Well, I couldn't get to the press conference. I'm here to tell you it would be an honor to represent minorities in the state of New Jersey where they can generate a great deal of money. Yes, I can do that. And I surely will willing to do that. So she came walking in there and said, I had to come. I couldn't make it to the funeral home. He had to repass. She didn't want to eat anything, but everybody pretty much knew her. And she went out and spoke to everybody. Then when we finished, feeding all those people, and boy, was they packing their plates. We had more food. Here come new food. Now, you know, when it's like an hour or half an hour, nobody cooks anymore. Are you kidding me? Yeah, everybody want to get out of there. She come out with a whole new tray. I said, look, we ain't leaving no food behind. Take some home for your neighbor. Take something home. And these people packed that stuff in their bags or whatever, and yes, that's what you're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. Not because one passed away, but it does erase this myth that something is wrong with death. It erased this myth that you're not supposed to enjoy yourself. It erased this myth as if this is the end of this world and it's so sad. No! You know what the blessing is? You don't know when you leave it. That's the mercy, because all of us got to go that way. You come to the funeral or the janazah, you get blessed. But when you go to the cemetery, you're double blessed. If you knew, Allah rewards you so you can see one day you have to travel that route. And so you understand, because some people get buried and only 10 people show up. Why? They have no history. But my sister Joan was loved. She was a very, very educated female with ability to draw. She was very artistic. And she was a beautiful girl that wanted the runway. And my younger sister Zara, she used to take her everywhere and teach her how to protect herself. Yes, all this is a necessity, and we're supposed to give it to our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. One go, one comes in. It's very hard to teach family this. But I want you to know that even my sister Joan's friends walked up to me and said,
My God, this was beautiful. Your system went out very pleasing. From the bottom of my heart, because that's my sister Joan. So I want to thank my family members, because my sister and my son, they all got together and paid for them doing necessary things, especially in taking care of those who want to help. But what I don't like to say, I will. So many men that I knew, not of our race, not of our religion, and basically Jews, say, just tell me who I write the check to. Yes. Yes. That's what they do. And may Allah be pleased with them, even though I wouldn't take it. May Allah be pleased with them, because that's what it's about. Now, what do I prefer? Write a check to the nonprofit organization that's helping our little boys and girls that are being abused. Write a check to help the nonprofit organizations that can stay afloat to help our kids in the community while they're alive. Write a check to the nonprofit organization to assist them. Write a check so we can give games and toys and rides and feed everybody in any walks of life in the parks. 22,000, 32,000, we want to hit that 100,000 mark. Write a check for that. I feel good when you do that. This is what God wants us to do when it comes to charity. And I don't be around stingy and selfish people. And we're not beggars. That's one thing I love about my sister Zara. She ain't going to ask you for nothing. She'll work hard and get it herself. And she's an entrepreneur, even though she always had good jobs, very intelligent. My brother Saeed is not a baker. Not going to ask you for nothing. He'll give you anything you want. He'll give it to you. He got it, you got it. And the problem we have is that you don't recognize. You got to understand, Muhammad the Prophet, when he got the word read in the name of the Lord that created, that came from Allah through the angel Jibril, his own blood wanted to kill him. You remember Wallace D. Muhammad? When he became successful, everybody in his family didn't like him. Well, it was his own uncles. That's what happens when you come in power. People don't see it. But when you recognize it, when you recognize, you would think the whole family would sit at the table and let the one that's successful tell you what to do. There's no way, brothers and sisters, when you come together as a family, every female, especially if you're not married, we take care of. There's no way. Let me give you an example. The average real car today costs $60,000. You can get a beautiful car at $40,000. Well, why don't you take the $60,000? Because you take $20,000 and you buy the girls in the family an automobile. Not no old buggy. A brand new one. And you buy the women, whether they're a widow or divorcee, you make sure they have an automobile. Why? Because they got to go from one place to another. Now, you can't do that if you don't have the money. And if you come to mama, mama will say, oh, son, just do what you have to. You don't have to do, because that's mama. But a man, He would tell you, you stingy, cheap, grateful human being. You are ingrate. That's why a man got to talk to men. Allah says in the Holy Quran, he didn't say, I send women to men. I send angels to men. He said, if my earth was plentiful with angels, I would send you angels. But I send men to men. But a coward will go running to his mama and say, mama, so. Oh, boy, you don't have to do that. Well, that's all you want is confirmation. I don't have to. But come to daddy, and he'll tell you. You see, it's not wrong to say it, because one day you're not going to have it. One day you're going to go pass away just like my sister Joan, and there ain't going to be too many people at yours. No. A sin is when you can't have more than 70. Only 40 people showed up, 30 people. Because why? You did nothing. You didn't give to nobody. And you would think that the biggest of our family, we should be putting up at least $1,000 a year collectively to see who else can we help. How about a cousin? How about a lost friend? It's non-profit organization. Somebody got to run it. So you find one in the family, you run off. But that money goes to charity, because that's your reward in this world and the hereafter. That's God asks you to pay for, so you can pay it up by your deeds. I have to say it. I don't want none of my family members to go to hell because they were selfish. It's based and predicated on your income. That's what it's based and predicated on. You give where you have to. The Honorable Adam Muhammad said, you give until you hurt. Today, shucks, they don't give because they sick and have a sickness. I thank you for listening, and I thank all you who came out. And boy, did we enjoy ourselves being with you. And don't worry about one passing away. We come together for anybody that passed away and pray. That's what the power is, pray that they will make paradise. So we say to you, and hopefully you do it on your own, oh Allah, bless my sister Joan. Separate her faults from her goodness as thou separate the east from the west, and grant her Jannah, Lord, grant her paradise. And boy, that prayer is strong. I greet you from our father Adam to Abraham to Jesus to Muhammad. From the Holy Quran, the Assalamu Alaikum, peace be unto you. And Dr. O will be on. Oh, that woman helped us. Dr. O, turn her on from 8 to 9. We love her, Dr. O. Assalamu Alaikum.